voice in his head that told him he'd gone far enough. The guy's dead. No sense getting yourself killed down here, too. So get the hell out, now. Can't leave him, Rodriguez shouted silently at the voice. Dead or alive, I can't leave him down here. Your funeral, the voice countered. Yeah, sure. I get back to the base okay without him. What are they going to think of me? How am I... He saw the slumped form of the biologist, a lump of hard suit and jumbled equipment slumped against one wall of the tunnel. Hey, Mitsuo, he called. The inert form did not move. Rodriguez hurried to the biologist and tried to peer into the visor of his helmet. It looked badly fogged. Mitsuo, he shouted. You okay? It sounded idiotic the moment the words left his lips. But Fuchida suddenly reached up and gripped his shoulders. You're alive! Still no answer. His radio's out, Rodriguez finally realized, and the air's too thin to carry my voice. He touched his helmet against Fuchida's. Hey, man, what happened? Battery, the biologist replied, his voice muffled but understandable. Battery not working. And my ankle. Can't walk. Jesus. Can you stand up if I prop you? I don't know. My air fans are down. I'm afraid to move. I don't want to generate any extra body heat. Shit, said Rodriguez to himself. Am I going to have to carry him all the way up to the surface? Sitting there, trapped like a stupid schoolboy on his first exploration of a cave, Fuchida wished he had paid more attention to his Buddhist instructors. This would be a good time to meditate, to reach for inner peace and attain a calm alpha state, or was it beta state? With his suit fans inoperative, the circulation of air inside the heavily insulated hard suit was almost non-existent. Heat generated by his body could not be transferred to the heat exchanger in the backpack. The temperature inside the suit was climbing steadily. Worse, it was more and more difficult to get the carbon dioxide he exhaled out of the suit and breathable air into it. He could choke to death on his own fumes. The answer was to be as still as possible, not to move, not even to blink. Be calm. Achieve nothingness. Do not stir. Wait. Wait for help. Rodriguez will come for me, he told himself. Tomas won't leave me here to die. He'll come for me. Will he come in time? Fuchida tried to shut the possibility of death out of his thoughts, but he knew that it was the ultimate inevitability. The hell of it is. I'm certain I have a bag full of siderophiles. I'll be famous, posthumously. Then he saw the bobbing light of a helmet lamp approaching. He nearly blubbered with relief. Rodriguez appeared, a lumbering robot-like creature in the bulky hard suit. To Fuchida, he looked sweeter than an angel. Once Rodriguez realized that he had to touch helmets to be heard, he asked, "How in the hell did you get yourself banged up like this?" "Hydrothermal vent," Fuchida replied. "It knocked me clear across the tunnel." Rodriguez gave a low whistle. "Old Faithful strikes on Mars." Fuchida tried to laugh. What came out was a shaky giggle. "Can you move? Get up?" "I think so." Slowly, with Rodriguez lifting from beneath his armpits, Fuchida got to his feet. He took a deep breath, then coughed. When he tried to put some weight on his bad ankle, he nearly collapsed. "Take it easy, buddy. Lean on me. We gotta get you back to the plane before you choke to death." Jamie hovered over Trudy Hall, who was sitting at the comm console now. Dezhurova had insisted that she would stay on duty, but Jamie had ordered her to get up and have something to eat. He was grateful when she obeyed. She was obviously reluctant about it, but she did what Jamie commanded. "You should take a rest too, mate," VJ told him. She had carried a tray of dinner into the comm center for him. "When they're back safely in the plane," Jamie said, "then we can all call it a day." "How long has it been?" VJ asked. Glancing at the digital clock above the main comm screen, Jamie said, "More than an hour since Rodriguez started down after him." Dex Trumbull was driving slowly through the inky blackness of the Martian night. "Supper's on the table," Craig called out. "Come on and eat it or I'll throw it to the hogs." "Why don't we keep on going, Wiley?" Trumbull asked over his shoulder. "'Cause we don't want to break our cotton-picking necks, that's why." Shut her down for the night, Dex. Ah, come on, Wiley, just a few clicks more. Now, Craig said, with iron in his tone. With a sigh, Trumbull leaned on the brake pedals and brought the rover to a slow, smooth stop. Once he had shut down the drive motors and come back to the table between the bunks, Dex sank down on the edge of his bunk and stared for a few moments at the tray of prepackaged dinner. I know what you're up to, you know, Craig said, sitting on the edge of his own bunk on the other side of the folding table. Dex grinned at the older man. Yeah? What? You want to get so close to the generator that when Jamie comes to his decision point, we'll be closer to it than to the base, right? With a nod, Trumbull answered. Why not? You're not scared of a dust storm? Wiley, if Jamie weathered one of those storms during the first expedition, why can't we? Be smarter to be back at the base when a storm hits, nice and cozy. If a storm hits. How'd you feel if we turned tail and went back to the dome and then no storm materializes? Alive, said Craig. Trumbull considered the older man for a moment. Then as he dug a plastic fork into the unidentifiable stuff on the tray before him, he asked, If Jamie orders us back, what'll you do? Craig stared back at him, sad, pouchy, ice-blue eyes unwavering. Don't know yet, he answered, but I'm turning over the possibilities in my mind. Trumbull grinned at him. Yeah? Well, turn this over too, Wiley. There'll be a finder's fee for picking up the Pathfinder hardware. A nice sizable wad of cash for the guys who bring it back. That'll be you and me, Wiley. How much? Trumbull shrugged. Six figures, I guess. Hmm. Watching the older man's face carefully, Trumbull added, Of course, I don't need the money. I'd be willing to give my half to you, Wiley, if we keep on going, no matter what Jamie says. Craig's face was impassive, but he said, Now that sounds pretty interesting, old pal. Pretty damn interesting. Rodriguez had forgotten about the ice. He half-dragged Fuchida along the tunnel, the little pools of light made by their helmet lamps the only break in the total overwhelming darkness around them. How you doing, buddy? He asked the Japanese biologist. Talk to me. Leaning his helmet against the astronaut's, Fuchida answered, I feel hot, broiling. You're lucky. I'm freezing my ass off. I think my suit heater's in refrigeration mode. I don't know how long I can last without the air fans, Fuchida said, his voice trembling slightly. I feel a little lightheaded. No problem, Rodriguez replied with a false heartiness. It'll get kind of stuffy inside your suit, but you won't asphyxiate. The first cosmonaut to do a spacewalk almost died of heat prostration, Rodriguez remembered. Alexei Leonov said his suit was up to my knees in sweat before he could get back into his orbiting capsule. The suit sloshed when he moved. The damn suits hold all your body heat inside. That's why they make us wear the water-cooled long johns and put heat exchangers in the suits. But if the fans can't circulate the air, the exchanger's pretty damned useless. Rodriguez kept one hand on the tether. In the wan light from his helmet lamp, he saw that it led upward out of this abyss. We'll be back in the plane in half an hour, maybe less. I can fix your backpack then. Good, said Fuchida. Then he coughed again. It seemed to take hours before they got out of the tunnel, back onto the ledge in the slope of the giant caldera. Come on. Grab the tether, we're going up. Right. But Rodriguez's boot slipped, and he fell to his knees with a painful thump. Damn, he muttered. It's slick. The ice. The astronaut rocked back onto his haunches, both knees throbbing painfully. It's too slippery to climb. Fuchida's voice was edging toward panic. Yeah, we're going to have to haul ourselves up with a winch. He got down onto his belly and motioned the biologist to do the same. Isn't this dangerous? What if we tear our suits? Rodriguez rapped on the shoulder of Fuchida's suit. Tough as steel, amigo. They won't rip. You're certain? You want to spend the night down here? Fuchida grabbed the tether with both his hands. Grinning to himself, Rodriguez also grasped the tether and told Fuchida to activate the winch. But within seconds he felt the tether slacken. Stop! What's wrong? Fuchida asked.